Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Courthouses around Ireland deal with criminal and civil matters such as drugs and traffic offences on a daily basis. Well, our reporter Maura Fay spent the day at one of them and joins us now. So Maura, where did you go?
I went to Trim Courthouse last Tuesday, and Claire, it must be one of the busiest courthouses in Ireland outside of Dublin. There was a district court sitting, a circuit court sitting and also an inquest. I briefly sat in on the district court where Judge Erin McKeown was presiding. Very interesting to witness how the court operates. Some of the defendants were appearing video link. Three women appeared via video link from the Dorcas Centre in Mountjoy, and some men also from the Midlands Prison. Now, there were a lot of non-appearances by defendants, leading to Judge McKeown to comment, "It must be the sunshine." Now, actually, one defendant couldn't appear before the court as they were in the National Rehabilitation Hospital. In another case, the court was informed that the defendant was actually deceased. And in the case of non-appearances, obviously, bench warrants were issued. There is one interesting case, Claire, involving a 31-year-old man who came before the court on a number of traffic offences, including dangerous driving. His solicitor said his client had recently completed an articulated driving course, submitted a glowing reference from the man's place of employment, and he said that the man had engaged in a period of stupidity and asked that the judge consider a community service sentence. The judge said she had to disqualify the man for driving and did so for 4 years. She also sentenced him to 220 hours of community service, provided he completed an educational course on road safety. I stepped outside the court to chat to some of the people who were up on various matters that day.
All right, so who did you chat to?
The first person I spoke to was a man who was up in court on a drugs charge. I asked him if he'd gotten the matter dealt with that day.
No, not just today. Sentence date for July.
And can I ask you what you're up in court for?
Drug charge.
Yeah. Did you plead guilty?
Yeah, I plead guilty. They just want to get behind me, yeah.
Have you been up in court much?
This is probably my sixth or seventh time on this one. First time ever. First charge.
How do you feel about going up in front of court?
It's not too bad. It's a bit nerve-wracking, but you get used to it, I guess.
And what are you hoping will be the outcome?
Suspended sentence, maybe. Probation. So I'm off everything, so I give up everything. It was a cannabis charge, so it wasn't too bad.
And was cannabis just the only drug you were using?
Yeah, that's the only one.
And can I ask you how you got off it?
Just wake up call, I suppose. That's about it.
And are you worried that a conviction could affect you later in life?
No, not really. Should be alright.
Have you been off cannabis long?
Since December last year. Smoking mostly since I was a teenager, so I'm 37 now. So it was a long time on it.
So, how do you feel being off it?
Yeah, I feel great, yeah. Healthier.
Are you working?
Yeah.
And is life good for you at the minute?
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah. Not too bad.
So life isn't too bad for him, he says. You also spoke to some people who were there on traffic offences, Maura.
Yes, Claire, the district court deals with a lot of traffic offences. One man told me why he was in court.
A vehicle was stopped with no tax on it, but I wasn't a registered vehicle. It was a garage around here that bought it off me, and it was still in my name.
And what happened?
It was straight down. Because it was numerous conditions of vehicles there today for the same problem. So I straight out, done, forgotten about now. So.
And has that caused you a lot of inconvenience?
No, not really. Like it was at the time, like trying to get it cancelled, but they wouldn't cancel it. So I said, look, we'll go to court about it. And we're straight out there today.
Have you been up in court before?
No, very first time.
How did you find the experience?
That was grand, yeah. It was nice though. A day off work, wasn't it, as well though?
I also spoke to a man who got a summons for not paying a speeding fine.
I got a speeding fine for last November.
All right. And had you not paid it?
I only got it last month.
All right.
That's why I had to come here. It was up to €300. But I never got handed for it. I never got it for last November.
Okay. And what did the judge decide?
She threw it out. Okay. There was no proof that I got the fine. I didn't get it, you see.
Right.
Right.
And where were you supposed to have been speeding, or like what speed were you supposed to be doing?
What were they doing? 85 and 80. At Lega, Castleton.
Okay.
Just at 7 o'clock in the morning. I never seen them there at 7 o'clock in the morning. So
you've had to come to court and it's been struck out?
Yeah.
And have you been to court before ever?
Not here, no. No, first time.
Okay.
So, that's it.
How do you feel about having to come to court today on something like that?
I didn't mind. I wasn't giving them 300 euros for a 60 euro fine that I never got. What?
85 and an 80. Now, there are other people there, though, on more serious charges, Maura.
Yes, Claire. I also spoke to two young men who were both facing a Section 3 assault charge.
I'm in court for assault, Section 3.
And are you pleading guilty or not guilty?
I'm deciding to take a plea deal.
And why is that?
Because I'm not sure if going to trial will be in my best interest.
So what's happening now?
What's happening now? We've been waiting here for about 3 hours just to figure out what the story is, how the judge wants to take it, if he wants to give us a plea deal or not.
More than likely, get pushed back. More than likely, I'd say, get pushed back. We've been here for about 6 to 8 months, I'd say, with this trial, and told we'd maybe get it sorted today, but the likelihood would probably be pushed back another 3 weeks, I'd say. And that's been the usual case for the past 6 to 8 months, I'd say.
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 22.
23 now.
I'm 23, and this has been going on since I was 19.
Yeah. And are you hoping it'll get resolved today?
I don't think it will get resolved. I'm hoping it got resolved 3 months ago, but I don't think it'll get resolved again today.
Like, we've been doing this now for the last nearly a year now at this stage. We went into the guard station, spent time there, so it's been a lot. Like, so even if it gets pushed back today, we're kind of expecting it at this stage, you know what I mean?
Okay, two young men there who you met at the courthouse. But not everyone who goes there who goes to court is a defendant, Maura.
No, Claire. I met a man who had been in court several weeks ago as a witness in a sexual assault case. He happened to be calling into court to meet with his legal team on a separate legal matter. He told me about his experience of getting justice.
I have got justice recently over a serious sexual assault charge against a man, and he was in this court a few weeks ago and he was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison. The case that happened back in 2000, but he was sentenced and convicted, and that was a good outcome.
So you were the victim in that case?
Yeah, I was the victim, yeah, sexually abused. This guy, he's a monster. But this happened, I'm 37, 25 years ago, and he went not guilty the whole way, put us through hell, and was found guilty then in the end. So that was a great outcome. Going on evidence that's from 25 years ago, which is circumstantial. There is no DNA, there's no digital proof, there's nothing. It's just your words, and if your word against the jury, and if they believe you or not, that's what it comes down to.
Male victims of sexual assault can be very reluctant to speak out or go seek justice from the guards. Is that something you'd encourage people who are in your position to do?
Now 100% I would, because I kept it from the guards for years, and because I was afraid of what I believed, I was embarrassed. But then it started affecting my life. I started self-harming. I had over 100 scars on my arm that I had to get a sleeve done just to cover them and all over my body.
Yeah, you've got them covered with tattoos. I can see them.
Sleeve done with a heel, but it was the ferocious thing, self-harm. It was the only thing to take the pain away from what was going on in my head.
That's a man there who was speaking about his experience of getting justice, among those talking to our reporter, Maura Fay, at Trim Courthouse. Maura, thank you very much.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.